Title: Foundation. Foundation and Empire. Second Foundation. Author: Isaac Asimov. Part number 2. Part title: The Mares. Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry: The Four Kingdoms. The name given to those portions of the province of Anacreon, which broke away from the First Empire in the early days of the Foundation era to form independent and short-lived kingdoms. The largest and most powerful of these was Anacreon itself. Undoubtedly, the most interesting aspect of the Four Kingdoms involved the strange society forced temporarily upon it during the administration of Salvor Hardin.
The deputation's on the way, Hardin.
You'd better come in, Lee. I need one person on my side of the fence.
I don't see why we need waste time with them. They can't do anything until the next election. Legally, anyway. That gives us a year.
Give them a brush off.
Lee, you'll never learn. In the 30 years I've known you, you've never once learned the gentle art of sneaking up from behind.
It's not my way of fighting.
Yes, I know that. I suppose that's why you're the one man I trust. Come a long way since we engineered the coup against the encyclopedists. Getting old. 52. Do you ever think how fast those 20 years went?
Well, I don't feel old, and I'm 56.
Yes, but I don't have your digestion.
Well, they're here. Where will you see them?
Here.
Oh, you're making them too important.
Why go through all the ceremonies of an official mayor's audience? I'm getting too old for all that red tape. Besides which, flattery is useful when you're dealing with youngsters, particularly when it doesn't commit you to anything. Sit down, Lee. Give me your moral backing. I'll need it with this young fellow, Cermak.
Cermak's dangerous, Harding. He's got quite a following. Don't underestimate him.
Have I ever underestimated anybody?
Well, then, have him arrested. You can charge him with something later.
Here they are. Ah, come in, gentlemen. Councilman Cermak, I've been anxious to see you ever since your very excellent speech last month. Your attack on the foreign policy of this government was a most capable one.
Your interest honors me. The attack may or may not have been capable, but it was certainly justified.
Perhaps. You're entitled to your opinions, of course. Still, you are rather young.
It is a fault that most people are guilty of at some point in their lives. You became mayor of the city when you were 2 years younger than I am now.
I take it that you've come to see me now about this same foreign policy that annoyed you so greatly in the council chamber. Are you speaking for your colleagues, or must I listen to each of you separately?
I speak for the people of Terminus, who are not truly represented in the rubber stamp body called the council.
I see. Go ahead.
It comes to this, Mr. Mayor. We are dissatisfied.
I take it you mean the people.
I believe that my views represent the majority of the voters on Terminus.
Yes, certainly.
Does that suit you?
Well, a statement like that's always the better for proof, but continue. You are dissatisfied.
Yes. We are dissatisfied with the policy which for 20 years has been stripping Terminus defenseless against the inevitable attack from outside.
I see. Therefore?
It's nice of you to anticipate. And therefore, we are forming a new political party. One that will stand for the immediate needs of Terminus, and not for some mystic manifest destiny of future empire. We are going to throw you and your clique out of City Hall.
Unless. There's always an unless, you know.
Not much of one in this case. Unless you resign now. I'm not asking you to change your policies. I wouldn't trust you that far. Your promises are worth nothing. An outright resignation is all we'll take.
I see. That's your ultimatum. Well, nice of you to give me warning. But you see, I rather think that I shall ignore it.
Don't think it was a warning, Mr. Mayor. It was an announcement of principles and action. The new party has already been formed, and it will begin its official activities tomorrow. There is neither room nor desire for compromise. And frankly, it was only our recognition of your services to the city that induced us to offer you the easy way out. I didn't think you'd take it, but now my conscience is clear. The next detection will be a more forcible and quite irresistible reminder that resignation is necessary. Good morning.
Hold on. Sit down. In exactly what way do you want our foreign policy changed? I mean, do you want us to attack the Four Kingdoms now? At once? Simultaneously?
It is our simple proposition that all appeasement must cease immediately. Throughout your administration, you have carried out a policy of scientific aid to the kingdoms. You have given them atomic power. You have helped rebuild power plants on their territories. You have established medical clinics, chemical laboratories, and factories.
Well, what's your objection?
You have done this in order to stop them attacking us. With these as bribes, you have been playing a colossal game of blackmail, in which you have allowed Terminus to be sucked dry, with the result that we are now at the mercy of these barbarians.
In what way?
Because you have given them power, given them weapons, actually serviced the ships of their navies, they are infinitely stronger than they were 2 decades ago. Their demands are increasing, and with their new weapons, they will eventually satisfy all their demands at once by violent annexation of Terminus. Isn't that the way that blackmail usually ends?
Of course. And your remedy?
Stop the bribes immediately, while you still can. Spend your effort in strengthening Terminus itself, and attack first.
Are you finished?
For the moment.
Well then, do you notice the maxim on the wall behind me? Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent.
An old man's doctrine, Mr. Mayor.
Now, I applied it as a young man, Mr. Councilman, and successfully. You were probably busy being born when it happened, but perhaps you may have read something of it when you were at school. Anacreon then, as now, the most powerful of the Four Kingdoms, demanded and actually established a military base upon Terminus. And the then rulers of the city, the encyclopedists, knew very well that this was only a preliminary to taking over the entire planet. That is how matters stood when I assumed actual government. What would you have done?
Well, that's an academic question. Of course, I know what you did.
But perhaps you don't get the point. The temptation was great to muster what force we could put up a fight. What I did instead was to visit the three other kingdoms one by one, point out to each that to allow the secret of atomic power to fall into the hands of Anacreon was the quickest way of cutting their own throats, and suggest gently that they do the obvious thing, that was all. 1 month after the Anacreonian force had landed on Terminus, their king received an ultimatum from his three neighbors, and in 7 days, the last Anacreonian was off Terminus. Now tell me, where was the need for violence?
I fail to see the analogy.
You still seem unable to grasp the fundamental necessities of our position. Our problems weren't over with the departure of the Anacreonians. They'd just begun. The Four Kingdoms were more our enemies than ever, for each wanted atomic power, and each was kept off our throats only for fear of the other three. We were balanced on the point of a very sharp sword. The slightest sway in any direction, if, for instance, one kingdom becomes too strong, or if two form a coalition, you understand?
Certainly. That was the time to begin all-out preparations for war.
That was the time to begin all-out prevention of war. I played them one against the other. I helped each in turn. I offered them science, trade, education, medicine. I made Terminus more valuable to them as a flourishing world than as a military prize. It has worked for 20 years.
Yes, but you were forced to surround these scientific gifts with the most outrageous mummery. You've made half religion, half balderdash out of it. You've erected a hierarchy of priests and complicated, meaningless rituals.
What of it? I started that way at first because the barbarians looked upon our science as a sort of magical sorcery. It was easier to get them to accept it on that basis. It's a minor matter.
But these priests are in charge of the power plants. That's not a minor matter.
True, but we've trained them. Their operational knowledge is purely empirical. And they have a firm belief in the mummery that surrounds it.
But if someone breaks through the mummery, what is to prevent him learning actual techniques and selling out to the most satisfactory bidder? What price are value of the kingdoms then?
No chance of that, sir. The best men on the planets of the kingdoms are sent here to Terminus each year and are educated into the priesthood. And the best of these remain here as research students. If you think that those who return with a distorted knowledge the priests receive can penetrate and abound to atomic power, you have a very romantic and foolish idea of science.
Mr. Mayor, a message for you.
Thank you. Set it up on the scanner. In short, gentlemen, the government is of the opinion that it knows what it is doing.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you. Clear the message. And that, gentlemen, concludes the interview. Thank you for coming. Well, Lee, how far do you think he'll go?
I'm not sure. But treat him with kid gloves and he's quite liable to win the next election, just as he says.
Oh, quite likely. Very likely, if nothing happens first.
Cermak has a following. What if he doesn't wait until the next election? There was a time when you and I put things through violently, despite your slogan about what violence is.
Ours was a necessary measure, put through at the proper moment and went over smoothly, painlessly, and all but effortlessly. As for Cermak, he's up against a different proposition. You and I, Lee, aren't the encyclopedists. We stand prepared. However, put your men onto these youngsters in a nice way. Don't let them know they're being watched.
Cermak and his men have been under surveillance for a month now.
All right. By the way, Ambassador Verisov is returning from Anacreon.
Was that the message?
Yes.
Are things breaking already?
I don't know. I can't tell until I've heard what Verisov has to say. They may be, though. What are you looking so worried about?
Because I don't know how it's going to turn out. You're too deep, Hardin. And you're playing the game too close to your chest.
And how was the trip, Verisov?
Interesting. There was a priest in the next cabin who, on his way here to take a course in the preparation of radioactive synthetics for the treatment of cancer.
Surely he didn't call it radioactive synthetics.
Certainly not. To him it was the holy food. He inveigled me into a theological discussion and did his level best to elevate me out of my sordid materialism.
One never recognized his own high priest.
Without my crimson robe. Besides, he was a Smyrnian. It was an interesting experience, though. It's remarkable, Hardin, how the religion of science has caught on. I've written an essay on the subject.
Really?
Well, I'm trying it for my own amusement. It wouldn't do to have it published. Treating the problem sociologically, it would seem that when the old empire began to rot at the fringes, science, as science, failed the outer world. To be reaccepted, it would have to present itself in another guise, and it has done just that. Oh, it works out beautifully when you use symbolic logic to help out.
Interesting. Now, what about the situation on Anacreon?
Bad.
Obviously. Otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Here's the position. The key man on Anacreon is the Prince Regent Bynes. He's King Leopold's uncle.
I know. But Leopold is coming of age soon, isn't he?
Yes, if he lives. His father died under suspicious circumstances. A needle bullet through the chest during a hunt. It was called an accident.
Yes. I remember Vinus when I was on Anacreon, or before your time. But let's see now. If I remember, he was a dark young man. Black hair and a squint in his right eye. And he had a hooked nose.
That's him. The hook and the squint are still there, but his hair's grey now. He plays the game dirty. Luckily, he's the most egregious fool on the planet. But he has unlimited self-confidence.
Probably an overcompensated inferiority complex. Younger sons of royalty get that way, you know.
That amounts to the same thing. He's foaming at the mouth with eagerness to attack the Foundation. Scarcely troubles to conceal it. And he's in a position to do it, too, from the standpoint of armament. The old king built up a magnificent navy. And Vinus hasn't been exactly sleeping the last couple of years.
All right, then. I've got the background. What has actually happened?
Well, 2 weeks ago, an Anacreonian merchant ship came across a derelict cruiser of the old Imperial Navy. Must have been drifting in space for at least 3 centuries.
Yes, I heard about it. Board of Navigation has sent me a petition asking me to obtain the ship for the purposes of study. It's in good condition, I understand.
In entirely good condition. When Vinus received your suggestion last week that he turn the ship over to the Foundation, he almost had convulsions.
Hasn't answered.
He won't, except with guns. You see, he came to me on the day I left Anacreon and requested that the Foundation put this battle cruiser into fighting order and turn it over to the Anacreonian Navy. He had the infernal gall to say that your note of last week indicated a plan of the Foundation to attack Anacreon. Oh. He said that a refusal to repair the cruiser would only confirm his suspicions and indicated that measures for the self-defense of Anacreon would be forced upon him. Of course, he expects a refusal. And that would be a perfect excuse in his eyes for immediate attack.
Well, we have at least 6 months to spare. So have the ship fixed up, presented with my compliments. Have it renamed the Vinus as a mark of our esteem and affection.
I suppose it's a logical step. And I'm still worrying.
What about?
That ship's cubic capacity is half again that of the entire Anacreonian Navy. It's got atomic power, blasts capable of blowing up a planet, and a shield that can take a cube beam without working up radiation.
Superficial, Verisov, superficial. You and I both know that the armament Vinus has now could defeat Terminus. Long before we could repair the cruiser for our own use. Well, what does it matter then if we give him the cruiser as well? You know it won't ever come to actual war.
Well, I suppose not, but look, this isn't anything to do with me, I know, but I've been watching the Visicast. What's all this about a group of councilmen forming a new political party? Look, Harlan, I know that you're in better touch with internal matters than I am, but they're attacking you with everything short of physical violence. How strong are they?
Strong? Probably control the council after the next election.
Not before. There are ways of gaining control besides elections.
Who do you take me for? Vinus?
No, but repairing the ship will take months. And an attack after that is certain. The addition of the Imperial cruiser will just about double the strength of their navy. They're bound to attack. So why take chances? Either reveal the plan of campaign to the Council, or force the issue with Anacreon now.
That's the one thing I mustn't do. There's Hari Seldon and the plan, you know.
You're absolutely sure, then, that there is a plan?
Well, there can scarcely be any doubt. I was present at the opening of the Time Vault, and Seldon's recording revealed it then.
No, I didn't mean that. I just don't see how it could be possible to chart history for 1,000 years ahead. Maybe Seldon overestimated himself. Well, I'm no psychologist.
Exactly. None of us are. But I did receive some elementary training in my youth, enough to know what psychology is capable of, even if I can't exploit his capabilities myself. There is no doubt that Seldon did what he claims to have done.
Well, everybody knows the way things are supposed to go, but can we afford to take chances? Can we risk the present for the sake of a nebulous future?
We must, because the future isn't nebulous. It's been calculated by Seldon and charted. He said in the Time Vault that at each crisis our freedom of action would become circumscribed to the point where only one course of action was possible.
So as to keep us on the straight and narrow?
Yes. But conversely, so long as more than one course of action is possible, the crisis has not been reached. We must let things drift so long as we possibly can, and that's what I intend doing. I would rather not have told you about this.
Why not?
Because there are now 6 people, you and I, other 3 ambassadors, and Johan Lee, who have a fair notion of what's ahead. And I'm certain it was Seldon's idea to have no one know.
Why so?
Because Seldon wanted us to proceed blindly, according to the law of mob psychology. As I once told you, I never knew where we were heading when I drove out the Anacreonians. My idea had been to maintain the balance of power, no more than that. It was only afterwards that I thought I saw a pattern in events. But I've done my level best not to act on that knowledge. Action due to foresight would have interfered with the plan.
Then how do you expect to spot the right moment for action?
It's spotted already. You admit that once we repair the battlecruiser, nothing will stop Vinus from attacking us? There will no longer be any alternative in that respect?
Yes.
All right. That accounts for the external aspect. You'll further admit that the next election will see a new and hostile council that will force action against Anacreon? There is no alternative there?
No.
So, as soon as the alternatives disappear, the crisis has come.
I see.
But this one thing that worries me. I've got the idea, it's just a notion, that the external and internal pressures were planned to come to a head simultaneously. As it is, there's a few months' difference. Vinus will probably attack in 6 months, but the elections are still a year off.
Is 6 months' difference that important?
I don't know. Anyway, there's one thing I have decided.
What's that?
When the crisis does begin to break, I'm going to be on Anacreon.
Climbing to the sun. And over. If I catch him under the wing... Got him. Up he goes. And the dive? Will he dive? Yes, here he comes. And... Got him.
Magnificent, Your Majesty. I've never seen a better shot.
Thank you. I think that makes 46.
Correct, Your Majesty. Perhaps 50 before you come of age. 50 Nyaks before...
Neffel, come back to the palace immediately. More important things than Nyack hunting now.
But, Uncle...
Do as I say.
What do you want that is so important?
I've been to the ship.
What ship?
There is only one ship. The one the Foundation is repairing for the Navy. The old Imperial cruiser. Do I make myself sufficiently plain?
No, that one... You see, I told you the Foundation would repair it if we asked them to. It was all poppycock, you know, that story of yours about them wanting to attack us.
Leopold, you're a fool.
Well, now, look here. I don't think you ought to call me that. You forget yourself. I'll be of age in 2 months, you know.
And you're in a fine state to assume regal responsibilities. If you spent half the time on public affairs that you spent on hunting, I'd resign the regency now, and with a clear conscience.
Well, I don't care. That has nothing to do with the case. The fact is that even though you are my uncle and the regent, I'm still the king. You oughtn't to call me a fool, and you oughtn't to sit in my presence. You haven't asked my permission.
May I refer to you as Your Magister?
Yes.
Very well. You're a fool, Your Magister. Oh, I'm sorry, Leopold. I shouldn't have spoken harshly. But I know that your youthful spirits are impatient of the dry detail of statecraft.
Well, that's all right.
However, you will come of age in 2 months. Moreover, in the difficult times that are coming, you will have to take a full and active part. You will be king henceforward, Leopold.
Yes, Uncle.
There will be war, Leopold.
War? But there's been a truce with Smyrna.
With Smyrna. With the Foundation itself.
But, Uncle, they've agreed to repair the ship. You said...
Leopold, there is to be war with the Foundation whether the ship is repaired or not. The Foundation is the source of all power and might. All the greatness of Anacreon, its ships, its cities, its people, its commerce, depends on the dribbles and leavings of power that the Foundation have given us.
It seems to me we should be grateful.
Grateful? Leopold, you will be king of Anacreon. Your children may be the kings of the universe. If you have the power that the Foundation is keeping from us.
There's something in that. After all, what right have they to keep it to themselves? It's not fair, you know. Anacreon counts for something, too.
It seems that you're beginning to understand. And now, my boy, what if Smyrna decides to attack the Foundation on its own part, and thus gains all the power? How long do you think we could escape becoming a vassal state? How long would you hold on to your throne?
You're absolutely right, you know. We must strike first. It's simply self-defense. When do we strike?
Not immediately. First, we must wait for the repairs to the battlecruiser to be completed. The mere fact that they're willing to undertake them proves that they fear us. The fools attempt to placate us. But we are not to be turned from our path, are we?
Not while I'm king of Anacreon.
And besides which, we must wait for Salva Hardin to arrive.
Salva Hardin?
Yes, Leopold. The leader of the Foundation is coming to Anacreon himself for your birthday.
Salva Hardin?
You afraid of the name? It's the same Salva Hardin who on his previous visit ground our noses into the dust. You're not forgetting that deadly insult to the royal house from a common?
Well, no. I won't forget. We'll pay him back. But I'm afraid a little...
Afraid? Of what? Of what?
Well, it would be sort of blasphemous to attack the Foundation.
Go on.
I mean, if there really were a galactic spirit...
Oh.
Well, it mightn't like it, don't you think?
No, I don't. And so you really bother your head a great deal over the galactic spirit, do you? Have you been listening to Verisov?
Well, he did explain a great deal.
About the galactic spirit?
Yes.
Why, he believes in that mummery a good deal less than I do. And I don't believe in it at all. How many times have you been told that all this talk is just nonsense?
Well, I know that, but Verisov...
Verisov says, damnation to Verisov! It's nonsense!
Everyone believes it just the same. About the prophet Hari Seldon and how he appointed the Foundation to carry on his commandments, that there might someday be a return to the earthly paradise, and how anyone who disobeys his commandments will be destroyed for eternity. They believe in it. I've presided at festivals. I'm sure they do.
Yes, they do. But we don't. According to them, you are king by divine right and are semi-divine yourself. Very handy. It eliminates all possibilities of revolts and ensures absolute obedience in everything. And that is why, Leopold, you must take an active part in ordering the war against the Foundation. I am only a regent and quite human. You are king and more than half a god.
Am I?
No, not really. But you are to everyone but the people of the Foundation. Once they're out of the way, there'll be no one to deny you the godhead.
And after that, will we ourselves be able to operate the power boxes of the temples and the ships that fly without men and the holy food that cures cancer and all the rest? I mean, Verisov said...
Verisov said... Verisov, next to Silver Hardin, is your greatest enemy. Stick with me, Leopold. Don't worry about them. Together we will recreate the Empire. Not just the kingdoms of Anacreon, but one comprising every one of the billions of suns of the galaxy. Isn't that better than their earthly paradise?
Yes.
Can Verisov promise more?
No.
Very well. I suppose that we may consider the matter settled, Your Majesty. Now get along. I'll be down later. Oh, just one thing, Leopold.
Yes, Uncle?
Do be careful when you're out hunting. Since your father's unfortunate accident, I have the strangest presentiments. You will be careful, I hope. And you'll... do as I say about the Foundation, won't you?
Yes, certainly.
Good.